Amen. Well, what a privilege it is to be able to be on the prayer line again tonight and to be able to teach and share God's Word. Thank you so much for that prayer. I appreciate that. I appreciate the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to hopefully deliver some of the heart of God tonight and let Him operate through me. We've been talking about becoming a prayer minister. What does it mean to be a prayer minister? How might that work? We define prayer minister as someone who makes themselves available to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can work through them to help other people to find the miracles that God has for them. So prayer ministers are available to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can work through them. And the whole point of this is so that through the Holy Spirit working through us, God can do miracles for other people. And we talked about how in Mark 16, the last few verses of Mark 16, Jesus was talking about how all believers ought to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. All believers ought to be able to cast out devils and do these kinds of things that we would say are related to what a prayer minister might do. As a matter of fact, I was having dinner tonight with my spiritual father, my bishop. And we were sitting around the table with some others and talking. And I said something about doing this teaching. And he said, you know, if every Christian realized that they were a prayer minister and they started praying for the sick, pretty soon there wouldn't be any Christians that didn't believe in healing. He said the reason for that would be because they would begin to see miracles themselves. And then they just couldn't help but see miracles of healings. And I thought, boy, that is right. And as a matter of fact, to me, I heard a great, wonderful testimony. I'm not going to say all the details. I'm going to try to make this story quick. But, you know, we talked for the last couple of weeks about being a prayer minister. And I heard a testimony about somebody who had been listening to this teaching. And they had never really prayed for anybody before. I mean, not physically, not as a prayer minister, not going to their side and praying for them. They've been an intercessor and prayed over the phone and those sort of things. Anyway, this person got a chance to go to the hospital and pray for someone that was sick in the hospital. From the story I heard, they were really excited about that. I mean, they finally realized, God can work through me. I have faith. This person's going to be healed. And that was probably the gift of faith working through them. That was their first experience at being a prayer minister. And I thought, man, that is exciting, to say the least. And that person's life, for sure, is going to be changed as they start ministering to others in prayer. Well, let's see. Last week, we stopped at a place where I was telling the story about ministering together as a team and that it's usually better, if you can, to act as a prayer minister with someone else, one or two other people. We were talking about the benefits of that, and I told a story about a lady that Debbie and I had prayed for together over the phone, and she was being tormented by an incubus spirit. This is a spirit that was literally attacking her sexually in her sleep, and she wasn't able to sleep. And anyway, the story was all about how Debbie and I worked together, how the Holy Spirit worked together through Debbie and I, doing one thing through me, and then something different through Debbie, and then another thing through me, and then something different from Debbie, and eventually this lady was delivered. Well, I'll tell you a story about that, but it's going to be a really short story, okay? And that is that after hearing that teaching last week, we got a call a day or two later from someone that said, you know what? I have been suffering the same kind of torment as that lady that you talked about that had the incubus spirit, and I'd like for you all to pray for me. And so Debbie and I, over the phone, began to pray, and just like the other time, the Lord began to reveal things, and the Lord began to move and direct us in our prayer in a very mighty way, prayed deliverance over her, and I think she was really delivered, and sure enough, about 3 days later, we got confirmation of that. She called back. She said, I have had the best sleep in the last 3 nights that I have had, and I don't remember when. Well, God delivered her. And so, I mean, this is stuff that's happening now. This is not something that was from the past. This is not something that takes anybody special to do. All you need to be is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move through you. And like I was talking about last week, It's not uncommon for someone to ask me to pray for them, and my first thought is, man, I don't have any idea how to pray for these folks. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start, nothing. But you know what? As we begin to praise the Lord, as we begin to enter into His Spirit, pretty soon the Holy Spirit starts moving, and the Holy Spirit starts directing, and this is how it's supposed to be. But anyway, where we left off last week was that it's better to pray as prayer ministry teams because we're just human. Even though the Holy Spirit may be speaking quite clearly, I may not be able to understand what He's saying or what He's getting at. But my prayer partner might know, and the Holy Spirit will lead them. And so they'll have a word, and I'll have a word. And matter of fact, that's what we were talking about with this story is, while one prayer partner might be praying in English for the person or talking to the person, the other prayer partner is praying in the Spirit, maybe even under their breath for them. The primary reasons that I told that story was to illustrate how important it is that when we minister in prayer, to have one or more other prayer ministers working together. The Holy Spirit showed Debbie in the story I told last week that the husband had been married before, but man, I didn't see that coming at all. And then the Lord showed me in the story I was telling last week that this lady had had a promiscuous past. Well, that surprised Debbie. But you know what? Both pieces of information were absolutely vital to seeing the complete picture and for this lady eventually being completely delivered. Knowing how to pray an effective prayer of deliverance without these words of knowledge and this gift of discerning of spirits would have just left us no way to know what evil spirits we were working with. It took both of us moving in the Holy Spirit together and in harmony for the Lord to accomplish His will of delivering this poor, tormented family. This is just how it works. And if we'll press in, we'll see God do great miracles. I think there are two reasons why God prefers multiple prayer ministers working together. First of all, because everything we hear, everything we sense in the Spirit comes through our minds. It's filtered through our knowledge, through our experiences. It's filtered through our biases, our worldview. It's even filtered through our faults, our mistakes, and our minds and experiences, our own predilections. They often act as obstacles to clearly hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so what's easy for me to hear and see in the Spirit may be impossible for you to hear and see in the Spirit, and vice versa. You may be incredibly sensitive to things that I would never sense. For example, my wife is very sensitive to discerning of evil spirits, much more so than I am. It doesn't mean that gift doesn't operate through me some, but it's much more prevalent with Debbie. So with two or more prayer ministers, we have a much better chance that whatever the Holy Spirit needs to reveal, that can be successfully done, it can be successfully understood, transmitted, if you will, by at least one of the prayer ministers. It's like an array of dish antennas pointed out into space. You know, they're looking for aliens, and they got this whole field of antennas pointing out into space. It's a lot of them. I guess I should say antennae, shouldn't I? The proper word. Anyway, when you have many antennae, you can pick up things that you just never receive with a single dish. And then the second reason I think the Lord wants us to minister as teams, I don't mean you shouldn't say, well, I don't have somebody else to minister with me, I'm not going to pray for this person. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the Lord's best, what I think is most effective, is when we work in teams. And I think the second reason is that the Lord wants to underscore for us the concept of spiritual gifts, and that is that they're not our gifts, nor do they come from our own abilities or our own capabilities. They are completely and entirely from God, working through the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's will through we flawed, weak vessels of clay. And so just to make sure you don't think that you're the one that's doing it or controlling these things, I think the Lord will work through different people. You know, He'll give one part of the puzzle and a different person the other part, but the whole picture, that only becomes clear when the pieces are all put together. Matter of fact, I think this is especially true for the gifts of miracles and healings. When you have three people standing around praying for somebody's healing, when they actually do get healed, you don't know who the gift of healing flowed through or the gift of working of miracles. Nobody can take the credit for being the healer because nobody knows which person that gift actually flowed through. All you know is the person got healed. You know, the Lord's making sure that we understand that none of us on our own could get the job done. It takes all of us working together as a body, each of us with a different but vital part to play in this journey we call prayer ministry. Okay, well, let's change subjects a little bit. Remember, I said this is going to be pretty mechanical. I'm going to go through a lot of the mechanics of being a prayer minister. And one of the things I alluded to last time, I want to talk about now, is the idea of praying a cleansing and protective prayer both before and after you minister. Remember, I told you there were four basic steps to prayer ministry. First, there's an interview. Then second, you begin praying. Then third, you pray interactively. And fourth, you pray until God moves or your time's up. Well, there's something you need to do before and after one of those prayer ministry sessions. We've learned that prayer ministry can be taxing. It can even be dangerous. During and after ministry to folks in prayer, you're often working around folks who are demon-oppressed or they're burdened down by curses or spells or who knows what all. And what that means is you're in close proximity to demons, to curses, to all kinds of trauma and ill feelings and maybe bitterness. And what you don't want is you don't want any of that evil stuff to stick to you or to your family. And so, for sure, you don't want to bring it home with you, right? So I think we always want to make sure that the demonic forces are bound so they can't hinder us, they can't hinder our prayers, they can't hinder our ministry, and they can't come home with us. So to do this, Debbie and I like to sandwich our prayer ministry sessions between two pieces of prayer bread, if you will. Actually, even before you pray this sandwich prayer, as I call it, for a ministry session, I think you also need to make sure that you've prayed a prayer of confession and that you're walking in innocence. And that means that you've been absolved of all sin by the King of the universe. You've confessed your sin. You've repented. You know that you've been made innocent and you're clean yourself. You know what? You probably want to have spent some time doing some prayer and fasting before the prayer ministry time as well. So anyway, back to the sandwich. So there's some things that I think you want to cover in prayer before you start a ministry session. And it's pretty typical of prayer anyway. You start with entering his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. In the name of Jesus and in the authority of Jesus, you bind up and you forbid the operation of any kind of evil entities. By the power and the authority given to us through the name of Jesus, you drive away from you and from the people that you're going to be ministering with, and to them you drive away all demonic forces. You need to forbid evil entities from tormenting or following us. You don't have to tell them where to go, okay? You don't have to tell them what to do. Just tell them they got to stay away from you. You, the folks ministering with you, and those you'll minister to, they can't come around you. In the name of Jesus, nullify any curses or spells. You never know who's praying against you or who's been praying against the people you're ministering to. So you don't want to leave out this step because you never know what spells have been put on them or curses they brought on themselves. So bind those up. Cleanse the place that you're praying in. Cleanse it from any kind of negative attitudes, from unbelief, from evil spirits. Matter of fact, when you go to a hospital, if you do nothing else, cleanse the room or the person that you're praying for and leave them with a clean place. Put aside all pride and invite the Holy Spirit to come in your prayer and do three things. Ask him to show up with power and signs and wonders. Ask him to fill the place where you're ministering and ask him to operate through you freely with spiritual gifts. I mean, this is really the point of prayer ministry, right? To allow the Holy Spirit to flow through spiritual gifts and to accomplish the miraculous in a supernatural way. You want the Holy Spirit to do what no human alone could do. He'll move through us humans to do what we could never do, but we got to ask him to show up. Okay, last thing to do in this prayer is to clear your mind and to put aside any thoughts or worries about what's going on in your life. Don't worry about the bills you have to pay or that your car wasn't running right coming to the church or whatever. Just put that all aside because this is not about you. It's about those you're praying for. You don't want your mind cluttered up. You want to be able to hear of what Jesus wants to do for them through you. You want to clear your mind of any preconceived notions about who you're praying for or what they've done or where you are or anything like that. And although this is really not part of the prayer, I think that before you start praying for other folks, you really need to put on a mantle of compassion. Ask the Holy Spirit to let you see folks, the folks that you're going to be praying for, to see them through His eyes of compassion and to see them with the love that only He has for them. And then after the prayer ministry session, Debbie and I want to close up by, again, praying a prayer of protection over us and the folks we prayed for. You go in to enter His gates and His courts with thanksgiving and praise. You thank the Lord for showing up. You thank the Lord for moving through you. You thank Him for all the marvelous things He did, even the things you didn't see that happened. But then pray that no residual from your prayer time will cling to you. No negative or wrong attitudes. Don't take on yourself any of the pains, any of the injuries, any of the attitudes of those you prayed for. Seal up everyone you prayed for. Seal them up in their healing and seal up the miracles that were done in their life or that God started in their lives. Pray that God will continue the work He started with them, that He'll complete that work. And a lot of times, I like to pray that they'll continue to be open to the revelation of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times after you're through praying with them, it's an hour later or a day later, all of a sudden their mind opens up and they can see things they never saw before. So continue to pray that that'll happen. And engage in spiritual warfare again, but this time it's with a little bit different slant. After ministry, you're coming against the evil that you encountered during prayer and you're forbidding that evil in the name of Jesus from either coming back to the people you prayed for or for coming to torment you or your family or anybody around you. And break off any curses or spells off you and the folks you prayed for. Listen, there have been times that we prayed for folks and they've cursed us, and you want to break that off of you. Sometimes they won't do it where you can hear it, but they're doing it. They don't appreciate what you're praying because they're not submitted to God. And anyway, you get the point. You need to break that off of you. Many times after praying for somebody, the Lord reminds me of them and their need later, and I'll continue to pray for them. Sometimes I'll continue to pray or intercede for some folks for weeks or even months as the Lord continues to bring it to my heart. But anyway, that's not really part of the prayer sandwich. Okay, so you got the pieces of bread, right? You're going to pray cleansing prayer, protective prayer over you and the team you're with, those you're praying for, and then after you're done, the same thing. Let's see. Let's look at some myths about demons and prayer ministry, because a lot of times you're dealing with folks that are demon-oppressed, demonized, need deliverance, and there are a lot of myths about that, misunderstandings. A lot of folks are afraid to pray deliverance prayers over people, and they're afraid to wage spiritual warfare against evil spirits. They're afraid because they've been taught a lie. They've been taught that you're better off just leaving the devil alone. If you stir him up, then he's going to start attacking you and your family. And so they just conclude, well, it's just best for me if I just stay away from evil spirits because I don't want them coming against me. Some folks have been taught that if you cast a demon away from somebody, then that demon will just go into some innocent person nearby. I've heard people say, don't ever cast a demon out of if there are children around, because those demons will just enter into those children. Well, that's garbage. If those children are open to demonic attack, then they are going to be attacked regardless of where you cast the demon out or when. There are plenty of demons around, okay? If you're open to demonic attack for whatever reason, there's a loose demon just waiting for the opportunity to attack you. You don't have to have it cast out of somebody else first in order for it to torment you or somebody else. Let me give you an illustration of this from our lives. A few years ago, we were part of a church where Debbie was helping with some of the, I guess you'd call it hospitality sort of work. Toward the end of the service, she came out into the narthex of the church, and she was starting to get the coffee ready. So when the church was over, people could come out there and fellowship. And there was a lady in the narthex that was kind of pacing around, and she was mumbling and grumbling to herself. And when Debbie came out there, this lady began to follow Debbie around. And she'd growl at her and stuff and hiss at her. And the Holy Spirit revealed to Debbie through the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits, although it didn't take much discernment, that this lady wasn't just demonized. She was actually demon-possessed. But Debbie knew that in this church, there was a nursery and a children's church. There were a lot of small children, and she had believed that lie. She believed the lie that said, don't cast out demons near children. So Debbie didn't do anything. Actually, she was afraid if there was anybody around, you shouldn't cast a demon out. And so she didn't do anything. Well, months after this, Debbie was praying, and actually it was on an Easter Sunday. And the Lord reminded her about this lady. And the Lord said, why didn't you cast that demon out of that woman? And Debbie responded, well, I was afraid that demon would go into the kids in the nursery. And the Lord asked Debbie, don't you think I could have taken care of both the lady and those kids? And in an instant of revelation, Debbie realized that all that teaching she'd heard about demons and children just wasn't true. The Lord told Debbie what to do in the future when she comes into situations like that. The Lord said, look, if a demon manifests to you, then you cast it out. And from then on, whether it was in private or public, that's what Debbie's done. And I can tell you, I've been around when a demon is manifest to us or to Debbie, and Debbie casts it out right then. It happened more than once. So, anyway, as a prayer minister, if a demon manifests around you, deal with it. Deal with it right then. Deal with it in the name of Jesus. And don't worry about whether that demon's going or what it's going to do. The Lord's going to take care of that. The truth is that Jesus has given us all power and all authority over all the works of the devil. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. I know we haven't looked at a lot of scriptures, but I want to look at some scriptures on this subject, okay? Luke 10, 19. Now, this is where Jesus has... Remember, Jesus sends out the 12, two by two, to minister to people, to minister healing, and to tell them the good news that the kingdom of God is here and they can be part of the kingdom of God. And then later he sends out the 72. And the 72 come back, and man, they are pumped, as we would say. They are excited because of all the miracles they saw when they were out ministering. And they were especially excited because when they commanded demons to leave, the demons obeyed them. They said, the demons are subject to us in your name, Lord, and this is really exciting. And Jesus said this to them. He said, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. When you begin to do prayer ministry and you're doing spiritual warfare against demonic entities, keep this scripture in mind, that he's given you all power, all authority in his name, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Listen, Satan is a completely defeated foe. The only weapon that he has is the power of the bluff. In other words, the only victory that a demon can win is one that we give them, a victory when we let them have whatever they want, because otherwise they're just telling us, oh, I can do that. No, they can't do anything unless we let them do it. See? Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. Again, the words of Jesus. And Jesus came up and spoke to them. Now look, this is some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples while Jesus was on the earth. And he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then listen to this next scripture. Verse 19 starts with, go therefore. In other words, he's connecting what he's about to say in verse 19 with what he just said. He says, starts off with, all authority has been given to me. He says, you go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, teaching them to observe all that I command, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I think that therefore that is there in verse 19 is saying, I've been given that authority, and now I'm delegating that to you so that you can go and minister in that authority. Turn to Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 38 is talking about the ministry of Jesus. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, obviously, God has given us that authority as well. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said in Mark 16, I expect you to do the same things that I've done. I expect you to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. I expect you to cast out demons in my name. How did Jesus deal with demons, by the way? He commanded them to leave the person they were tormenting. We know that we've been given that authority over demons because of the way the apostles dealt with demons. They did exactly the same thing. They commanded the demons to leave. While we're in Acts, look at Acts 16, verses 16 through 18. Acts 16, starting in verse 16. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us. And she was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and after us, she kept crying out and saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and he said, not to the girl, but he turned and he said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. Notice that Paul commanded the evil spirit to leave. He did it in the name of Jesus, and the evil spirit left. So doing something in the name of Jesus is using delegated authority. The authority that was given to Jesus was then given to us. We're using that authority when we command spirits in his name. When you exercise an evil spirit in the name of Jesus, you're telling that spirit, by the authority of Jesus, authority that he's given me to use, I tell you to leave this person and bother them no more. And when you command a demon in the name of Jesus, he absolutely must obey you, because whatever you tell him, when you do it in the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus telling him to do that, to go, essentially. So the truth is just the opposite of what some folks have been taught. They've been taught to leave the devil alone so he won't bother you. Well, the truth is that the devil's going to torment and oppress everybody he can just as long as they allow him to do that. And if he starts bothering you, he's going to continue to bother you until you make him leave you alone in the name of Jesus. And the only way to do that is through the name of Jesus. Just no other way. Matter of fact, when you're working as a prayer minister and somebody needs deliverance and you pray that kind of prayer over them and command those demons to leave, one of the other things you may have to do as the Holy Spirit leads is you may have to spend some time with the person that you've just prayed for and make sure they understand this concept that in the name of Jesus, they have authority over demons. And if these demons come back to torment them, they need to run them off themselves. They need to learn themselves how to deal with evil spirits. Well, I'm going to stop there, and we're going to finish up next time. We're going to talk about some kind of miscellaneous rules and guidelines for prayer ministers. I'll tell a couple more stories, I guess, about prayer ministry. So anyway, that's my teaching for tonight.